Still have time. It's not afternoon. I usually lose track of mine. It's just me getting old now. So my name is Bert, and I'm currently on staff as the youth leader and building manager for C3 Frio and Kwinana. Before I start, I'd like to give honor where honor is due, and I'd like to thank Pastor Stephen and Nami. Pastor Stephen couldn't be here because he had to rehearse for a wedding. And yep, and I'd like to thank my wife, who's my amazing wife, and my son Joseph. I'd like to start with praying. Father, I thank you for everyone that is gathered here, Father. And I pray that as I speak, O Lord, it is your Holy Spirit that is speaking, O Father. But most importantly, O Father, that it is your legacy that lives, Jesus. It is you that are the rock of ages. And as we sit here, O Lord, that it is your presence that fills us, Father. We pray for the sacrifice that people make in their giving, in their coming to church, in the building of the community, in the building of the saints, Father. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I usually always have this habit of starting with a joke. And it's the same one that I cracked at Frio. So if you were at Frio, please don't say the answer. So, who is the smartest guy in the Bible? Any takers? Come on. Abraham. Do you know why? Guess, come on. Do you know why Abraham is the smartest guy in the Bible? No, because he knows a lot. Our story, our future. Today, I'll be focusing on two specific points. One is recognizing the need to make room. And number two, the importance of making room. And I'm going to start with the scripture from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, 18 to 17. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, "I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to his upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her, as she stood in the doorway, "Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried, "O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Recognizing the need for making room. Do you know, it's really important to understand and to see that God has significantly moved within the church in the last 12 months, both in the physical and spiritual aspects. And I'm going to be sharing certain stats with you to help you along the message, but also to explain how the Shunammite woman's story lines up with this in making room for God to move. And how do we recognize the need through her story to make room? Last year, we had people pledge $76,390. Until the 13th March 2025, we have received $60,920. That's 80% of our target, 80% that we've punched through weight way before the end of the year. So it is something really amazing that you guys have done into sowing into the Word of God. With people, we saw 351 people come through that door. That's 351 people that have heard the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God, once spoken, doesn't return void? As a testimony of my life, I remember being taken to a church, to a Pentecostal church. I grew up a Catholic. My journey is very different, and my revelation of what led me to this was very simple, was that, hey, this is where I belong and this is the kind of stuff that God is calling me to do. But I still remember that I was taken to the church. I couldn't understand what was happening because I was very familiar with the liturgy of what happens in the Catholic Church because I was an altar boy. That being said, guess what? 8 years later, I end up in C3 Mumbai with Ryan and Rachel. Funnily enough, Australia was a far-fetched idea. My pastors was if you heard of C3 Joondalup, Pastor Rodney Waters, his son is Ryan Waters, who pastored the church in C3 Mumbai. But I still remember going back to that friend of mine and telling, hey, you know what? This is where I've got baptized and blah, blah. And the first word she said is that, Bert, I always knew that the word of God once spoken will never return void. 8 years. Took 8 years for me to understand that. In February last year, we saw the youth meet once a fortnight in Frio and on a Sunday in Kwinana. Now, with being able to use this building, we've seen a total of 31 kids come through these doors and receive Jesus. And of that 31, 26 of them who regularly attend youth. We see a similar graph with Kids Zone. Last year, we had about 10 kids at both locations. This year, that number went up to a total of 30. Now, I love kids ministry, and I'm kind of biased towards kids and youth ministry, because it's not that every other ministry's church is not important. The reason why I have that bias, because I know I'm getting old. I know that one day I wouldn't be able to put a foot in this building or walk up. Guess what? It's these kids that we've sowed into that are going to be the next generation of kids that transform the world around them. Do you know, because the world is conforming, it's very simple. They try to recruit you because they cannot create. God creates. The world can't create anything. So what they try to do is try to recruit. They try to conform you. So it's very important for us to sow into kids so that they can transform that world. Because they can only do it through Jesus. With Port Care, the building in Frio is used to host lunch, and in Kwinana, it gives out food hampers. We've seen a combined total of 3,012 meal and hampers served in the buildings in the last year. It says, the Bible says, that even if you give a cup of cold water to the least of your brothers, you know, your reward in heaven will be great. It's important to understand, but also understanding how these numbers relate to the Shunammite woman's story and how do we recognize the room to make more. If we look at the story, the woman saw Elisha pass to and fro. So say, for example, that's the golf course, this is the church, I live down the street. I can pass this place a million times, 1,000 times, all my life, and never enter the building and always walk to the golf club and always have trouble fighting my own battles. Or we all could agree that there is a constant urge that is drawing us towards God. And I could listen to that urge and transfer that thought into the action of coming to church, of letting God into my life. It is always about the thought that then turns into the action. It is simple. If you have trouble sleeping, guess what? You got to turn your cell phones off an hour before you sleep so that it helps you sleep better. If you struggle with addiction, guess what? You stop surrounding yourself with people that influence you with that addiction. You stop going to the BWS. Is it BWS? Yeah? Yeah. Sorry, I don't drink. Doesn't make me better. But all I'm trying to say is that there's always a thought to get better, to do more, that needs to be converted. It's like faith. It needs to be converted into action. The Bible says that whole creation groans. It explains that there is this constant urge within every living being for God's glory to be manifested. And we know that that glory is manifested through Jesus Christ. Similarly, Elisha had the presence of God. And as he passed through that village, something within the woman shifted. It shifted because there was a need. And we see in the rest of the story that there was a need within the woman that was constantly urging or longing for the presence of God. She turned that thought into an action by offering him firstly a meal through creating space in a dining room. Later on, she created space on the roof for him to rest. You know the funny thing about things, when God calls you to do something, the enemy always accompanies it with the feeling of not being able to do it. And I was speaking to Pastor Nami this morning about this dream I had last night. And I was like, I woke up and all my scriptures were messed. And I was trying to get my slides in order. And this was not happening and that was not happening. And guess what? I rock up to church and I accidentally give them the wrong scriptures. But you know what? I was still at peace. And the reason I was able to do that, because while I was in the shower and this was happening and I was thinking about it, my focus shifted from the problem to the church being full of people. And I was like, wow, God is trying to tell me, but don't focus on yourself, but focus what I can do through you. Focus on the presence, not on what is in the physical. And we see that in the scripture. When Elisha asked her, is there anything you needed? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son. Her husband is an old man. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. No, man of God, do not deceive me and get my hopes up high. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha said. God knew her need. Through the creating of that space, God knew what her need was. And the need for the son was fulfilled through the creating of space within her life. Recognizing the need, or the need to make room, is understanding that the person of Jesus Christ, the person of God, and the person of the Holy Spirit lives within you. And even though sometimes we don't verbalize our need or think it's out of reach, the Bible says our spirit makes requests on our behalf. And because our spirit makes requests on our behalf, guess what? God already knows our needs. And sometimes, even those needs feel far-fetched. Because I have a need. And my need is to see more people in youth. But I can't make it happen. Because by myself, I can't do it. But guess what? God has the ability to. It's trusting in His process and allowing Him to move in our lives. So we've got to recognize when God calls us to make more room within our lives, our church and community. And we see that through the various messages spoken over the year. You know, when Pastor Stephen launched the Kingdom Catalyst, and then it was Pastor Nami, and then it was Andrew. It's very important to understand what a Kingdom Catalyst is. Catalyst is suddenly, makes changes suddenly. It's like the Holy Spirit in the upper room, suddenly. Wind, when wind meets fire, you know, suddenly. Through the devotion of our scriptures, that we spend all this time in the scripture and boom, suddenly God calls us for more. Can we all say God calls us for more? I am called for more. You're called for more through your devotion in the scripture, through your prayer life, through the giving of your time, through inviting people to your houses, through building relationships, through forgiving, through being wise and being generous. But most importantly, in being ministers. Just like the woman who decided to offer Elisha a meal, that thought became an action. She first gave of the resources, little by little, and being wise in what she did. Likewise, we, through the various acts of generosity, have seen the doors of this building kept open. And I believe the doors of any church building being kept open is our mandate or our thing into the Great Commission. Because it's as simple as this. The doors being kept open is like for like what the Great Commission is. It's just making disciples, baptizing people, teaching them to observe what I have taught you. That is what Jesus told the disciples. With these doors being open, what do? People walk into our doors. We invite them to follow Jesus. They come to learn from us. We shepherd them. They are able to grow by inviting the Holy Spirit that transforms them. And we all start somewhere. We start by being a part of a community. We start by coming to church. We start by inviting people to church. We start by serving on teams. And there is no big or small role. There is no big or small role. It is only the need to create room for God to be able to transform you. And you being able to shepherd the sheep God has entrusted you with. So how does that look like for you? Because for Pastor Stephen and Nanami, it's the church that they're called to shepherd. For me, it's the youth. For Tammy, it's the worship team. What are you called to shepherd? Who are you called? Who is your sheep? And it's not necessarily community. It's also the family. It's your children. It's the immediate family that's around you, the neighbors. It's the people that you meet in the streets. You're called to minister to them. Because when you're called to testify the name of Jesus Christ, you're called to reflect Him. And the more you take steps to give Him room to move, the more bolder, the more stronger, the more closer you draw to Him. You know, we are extremely, extremely, and I can't stress enough on the point of how blessed we are and how grateful we are for every single one of you that gives of their time and towards our story, our future. Some of it helps keeps the lights on. Some of it maintains the building, you know. Some of it pays off the mortgage. Just as the Shunammite woman who built room for Elisha, we help build the place that we call church and home. It is very important to have people to call a place home. Or else it's an empty place. We recognize the need and ask for wisdom to be able to play our part in creating space. This is a place where we build according to God's plan. You know, Moses said that I will only go where you go. If you don't come with me, God, I'm not going. I ain't going. And he's like, the very verses after that, he's like, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Build according to the plan. Show me your glory. It's funny because I was at this training yesterday and all these people were being called in to pray and this and that. And I was like, God, did I miss my opportunity? You know, because they said, okay, people praying for schools and doing stuff within the schools. Do you want to, you know, come up and pray? And in that moment, somebody else went up and prayed. And I was like, God, did I miss my moment? And I was like, very specifically, I heard God say, no, we take one school at a time. That's it. It's what He calls you to do. And where He calls you to serve. Through that, we see God move significantly in the lives of the people around us, in our homes, in the people around us, and in our community. Now that we've seen why we need to recognize the need to make room, we look at the importance of making room. We see in part 2 of the scripture, in 2 Kings 4, 18 to 36, that that child grew up. And one day, he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. And then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. Is it not the new moon or the Sabbath? That's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to the servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant, Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything was all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak in your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Do not greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was a boy lying dead on his couch. He went and shut the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed, lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. He stretched out himself on him, and the boy grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. And then he got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. God is a God of details. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. She took her son and went out. God was able to move by blessing the woman with a son. And again, it's not a tit-for-tat situation. I don't go to God and be like, God, this is what I've done. Now, where's the result? Because he knows the time and space for doing what he knows to do and what he does best. Because through the whole story, if you see, all the woman did was create space. She never once mentioned her request. She never mentioned the request of wanting a son. Neither did she mention the request of raising him from the dead. But guess what? God is a God of details. And he knows your needs. I remember in my personal experience, my giving, I can say, is significantly increased. It's increased. That's a lot for me. Tammy, don't look at me like that. It's increased. And I'm not talking about only money. I'm talking about opening our home to people, serving in different roles in the church and community. But you know what? I grew up in poverty. My house was no bigger than there, that big. The 4 of us lived in a house that big. So giving didn't come to me naturally. But guess what? I still remember going to church with mom and dad, and mom and dad placing something in my hand to put into the baskets as they came across. Now, I did pocket it at some times. Yeah? Confessions. I did put that in my pocket. Because you could always do this, you know? You go like... But what I'm trying to tell you here is that that was something I struggled with. But it was important to understand that that is the word of God. And my parents were putting that thought into an action. Even though we didn't have enough, there was a way for them to put into the giving. There was a way through serving. There was a way through inviting people. And that only came through the Word of God. It's when I received wisdom, I knew where to stretch and where to say no. Like the woman of God, she saw God move in her life. I saw Him move in my life. And guess what? When you know the importance or the need for creating space, it enables you to be wise. So when calamity arose, she knew where to go. When calamity arose in my life, I knew where to go. There's a funny story about me and Harriet, because when there's a really amazing friend of mine called Danny, and I still remember him mentoring me, and you know, we're like brothers. He's an Iranian, really cool guy, and he speaks Armenian. Yeah, I always envy him, because he knows stuff in the Bible that I don't. But he always said, through our relationship, me and Harriet, it's like, always be as an individual till the very day you get married. Always be like, you know, it's not going to work out. Because that's when you let God work and place His finger on stuff in life. It made me wise in knowing where I needed to let God do what He does best. We all, as Christians, face calamities. And it's very important to understand when to pray about these things. But it's also important to understand that we need wisdom in the issues, in certain calamities. Like if I am not well, the first thing I do is when I sneeze is take my cold medicine. The first thing I do when we bought a house is get rid of all my unnecessary debt. Is get rid of making wise financial decisions. So when you pray for wisdom in making room in things, You've got to ask God to also fill you with the wisdom of where you need to move and stretch. Creating room for God enables us to trust in His life-giving power. It is through His Holy Spirit in our life. It's very important to live out of expectation into reliance. To live out of expectation that we have on ourselves and trust Him with His reliance. It is like a seed. How many of you here have plants at home? Plants. Oh, it's just three people, four. No plants, no herbs. Mango tree, grass, lawn, something that you water. Yeah? You have a seed that's that small and you put it in the soil, right? You kind of bury it. In a softer word, you sow it. Now, how many of you have seen the plant grow if you did this? Grow, 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 grow. You don't. You don't stand over it and be like, and if you've grown too many plants over the period of time, you know some of them die. Like, I know my wife, when she passes and she's watering the plants, I say, killer, killer, plant killer. She kills all my plants, Tammy. But it's very important to know that sometimes plants just die because they're not meant to grow or the soil's not good. But we know that they rely on the soil, the water, and the sun to enable to have life come out of them. Similarly, when we know or we're wise and we trust Him, we use the Word and the Holy Spirit to attain wisdom, which enables us to be wiser in order to allow us to grow and stretch. Grow and stretch in what we sow and allow God to move according to His plan and purposes for us. We as a family, this is me and my wife, have seen God's faithfulness in our lives to the point where it is just an abundance of things. It's abundance of peace, abundance. From us to be able to own a house, to be able to use that space to break bread with people, to pray for them and build on relationships. And sometimes I know that I just rock up at home and say, babe, we have dinner with these guys. And she's like, what, when? You didn't even ask me. Oh, no, I did. I tell her because she has a habit of forgetting. But I still remember that it has brought us so much of joy being able to minister to people in whatever little way we can, just having a relationship. Because we never know what's happening in their lives. The only way we can do that is by allowing them. And it's important to understand that people come, you don't change people. We don't change people. So if somebody comes to my house, I don't change them. I invite them to follow Jesus who can change them. I invite them to make room in their busy lives or to make room in their lives to receive more of His Word, to receive more of His Spirit, to just hear Him more. And sometimes it may get hard. Sometimes there's a lot of things that happen around our lives too. There's expenses, there's the mortgage, there's groceries, there's fuel, there's insurance, there's this, there's that. There's everything that all fades away. And then there's the constant call to grow. And it's like every hero in the Bible, it starts with the challenge. Look at them. We need to be wise. We need to trust Him so that He grows the things that we receive. The challenge of praying for wisdom. How do I be diligent with the little things to be able to call for the more? The challenge of trusting God with everything. Is He a God that understands my situations and considers my decisions or the things I go through? And the last thing falls back to the first. Am I using my God-given wisdom to enable me to create, increase the capacity to do more? You know, because God paid a price for our freedom. It was through the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection that we have room in His kingdom. Like the Shunammite woman who recognized, went to, and realized the importance of creating space for the presence of God in her life. Can we pray and ask God for wisdom into the things we need to sow into or the things we need to create space for? What does the next season look like for us? What are God's plans for us and the community? And is there something that we need to extend out to play our part? And I'm going to invite all of us to just stand. And as the worship team sings, I will make room. Because it says, here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. I want to ask you this question. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior?
This is my surrender.
What is it that you need to lay down? Where is it that you need to stretch? Is it the burden of unforgiveness? Is it the burden of love? Is it the burden of grace? What is it that we need to make more room for? Because it starts with creating room. Room for forgiveness, room for love, room for grace. Room for putting your hands up and saying, God, I will be the one to go. Being wise. And if that is you, and you need prayer to shift things in your life, to be able to do something more, I'm going to invite you up to the altar. But also, if you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you into this prayer, and we all, as a church and as a family, can stand with you in this prayer. So after me, dear God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the price that you paid for my sins, for making room for me. That Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. So if that is you, and you're wanting to create more room in your life, things that you have placed before God, that you want to move and be first. God, I want you to be first in my life. I'd invite you up to the front as the worship team sings. Lay it down, every burden, every doubt.
This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every
God, for your faithfulness, that you are a God of yes and amen, and you know our every little need, Father.
thank you for who you are and what you do for us. And we pray that we're always inspired by you and always fix our eyes upon you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I hope you guys have an awesome Sunday. Please feel free to gather out in the foyer. And if you need prayer, the prayer team will be up in the front to pray for you for anything that you need.